Cape Talk.
Business in Africa with Refilwe Maloto.
So was that investment conference, the Africa Investment Forum?
I called it, John.
It was
outstanding.
Not a talk shop.
Completely aside from anything that you would expect. So I just want to tell you, first of all, over the period that we had, which was 3 days, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, the Wednesday I was here, and of course, you know, I went on Thursday, Friday, there were 61 boardroom meetings aside from the conference, aside from all of the workshops, 61 boardroom meetings discussing deals to the value of $40.4 billion.
Discussing.
How many were closed? 45 out of 61. $32 billion out of 40.4 discussed. Sectors covered were energy, cement, tech, women, G20, domestic bond fund, ICT, health, education, housing, agriculture, hospitality, aviation. It was across the board and funding from 53 different countries, largely African. So that was very powerful, I thought. And really, I suppose, I think it was every person who got up on the panel to speak was like, this is a transformative conference. I haven't been at a conference like this where we discuss and then we get it done immediately. One thing
and
I
have to, these were all deals that would not have been done if this forum had not happened,
they
or
might, they
would
might have
been
they
done,
would have taken
but
longer. Yeah. Mm. And the thing that I have to really credit the African Development Bank with is what they said to every person who had to present a deal was they kind of had like a template about how you present your investment case, and they prepped everybody to really deliver their message in a particular way. What's your IRR? What is your timeline? What is your sector? All of those things. And most of the investors that I spoke to, when I asked them, what did you think of the conference? They were like, I haven't seen investors prepared like this before. So what the African Development Bank really did was it didn't have to facilitate with money. What it facilitated with was capacity building. What you need to do is this is how you present yourself to an investor, and this is what they care about. My panel was a lot of fun. We discussed the institutional investors and how we would de-risk, and we had a lot of discussion, which I'll probably write about. I would say, though, the people who were really missing. So we had government representation and very strong. We had five different state presidents, ministries of finance from Rwanda, other ministers from Mozambique, Zambia, Ethiopia, Guinea, Egypt. And we had institutional investors, Nigerian Sovereign Investment Authority, African Development Bank, DFIs, PENCOM from Nigeria, the PIC from South Africa. And we had great business representation. Aliko Dangote, probably the top four. Aliko Dangote, Tony Elimulu, Putuman Tlako, Patrice Motsepe, they were all there. But the people who were missing was the asset managers. And I think maybe because it's infrastructure investment, they've told themselves, I'll get into it when it becomes liquid portfolio investing. But actually, I would have appreciated seeing more investment asset managers around, because at the end of the day, you need to understand on the ground what the hard assets are doing before you put them into your portfolio. So I thought that was missing. But otherwise, it was a fantastic fair. John, I have to admit, and I
can
felt,
I can go. I be a little bit no a little bit what's the word, jingoistic?
Yes.
$35.4 billion in deals concluded.
Yes.
Another nearly 10, perhaps, still yes. to be concluded. How much of that benefits South Africa? I know we're supposed to think continentally.
You're absolutely right to ask the question. So I've been digging for the numbers that are coming into SA. It's not as much, but what I can see is that the Gauteng minister confirmed 6.8 billion went out from SA. So SA was a big investor, like about a quarter of it. And what I'm struggling to find is the money that came in, and that's possibly to do with projects that are not necessarily clear, but we're okay. I mean, I think, for example, President Cyril Ramaphosa is on a really, really good running track record with respect to getting to his $100 billion target. I think he's possibly almost three quarters of the way. And whispers that I've heard from people who work closely with him is that he says $100 billion to you, but in his mind, he's aiming for 200. And I think he'll get there. So I think SA is okay. I just think we need to convince people that we're going to make it through the next 6 to 9 months, right? And with an election, that's quite difficult. You tend to spend up to an election and actually we're quite broke, and we've now downgraded our GDP forecasts, and our rand is a little bit stabilizing.
Continue on the selfish theme. All right, so $6 billion at least of South African money going into Southern Africa, into SADC, into East Africa, into West Africa, wherever it is going. How much of, in what way is that beneficial
to SA?
I know a lot of the construction companies, for example, who would get involved in infrastructure development, they're doing really badly in South Africa to the point where closure or being sucked up by another one merges. So if by investing elsewhere in Africa,
they can diversify their portfolio. It might help, yes. Because, you know, construction's a tough one because it's extremely cyclical, and frankly, unless you have a moment like 2010, it's actually not a good time for construction companies. Like, unless we're really building for a whole World Cup, it doesn't work. But I do think, I'm so sorry that I don't have a proper breakdown of that $6.8 billion sectorially, but I believe it's more agri, energy, and potentially maybe a little bit of construction, maybe real estate. Okay. How it helps South African companies is exactly how you phrase it, is that it helps them to diversify. But it's not going to help the average South African walking down the street. It's going to help that corporate. SA is in a tough spot. I don't think we can run away from that one. And I think if we are able to diversify our portfolios, are able to invest in the rest of the continent of Africa, are able, hopefully, some of those investments are also to open up a gangway for our clientele to be African, right? So if we can, you know, because they're doing a little bit better. If an Ethiopian can be your client rather than a South African at this point, your company is doing a whole lot better, whatever it is, insurance, banking, fruit.
Okay.
So,
we mustn't be too selfish, and we must grant some growth to the rest of the continent as well.
As I always say, there's no point having a fancy house in a crappy neighborhood. Yeah.
I want a t-shirt that says exactly that. Thank you to Refilwe Moloto, founder and principal advisor at Ambassador Advisory.